Today we look back, and we look ahead, this year and next year, what to expect.
And don't be in fear. The world is gripped with fear. My Bible tells me that Satan traffics in fear. It's either faith in Christ, faith in God, faith in His Word, or as Charles Spurgeon said, fear is putting your faith in the devil. Think of it. We have been tortured. We have been humiliated. We have been disabled in our hearts and our minds because fear has captured the world.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, radio for the remnant. The current year of 2020 is winding down, and it has been, for the unbeliever, a year of fear. For the believer, it's been a year of faith. Jan Markell talks to two guests this hour, Pastor Jack Hibbs and Amir Sarfati. We hope you'll find this hour both informative and inspirational as we reflect on unprecedented times.
Of course, Jesus also said about the fig tree generation, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also you, when you see all these things. Who is that fig tree that two chapters earlier was Israel? Of course it's Israel right now. And that fig tree is the rebirth of Israel. From that death of 2,000 years came back to life. And you know that the rebirth of Israel is the most important end time signs of all. And he says, you also, when you all see these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly I say to you, this generation, say, my generation.
My generation.
Because a generation is the longevity of people from the moment of conception to their death, including the 9 months of swimming lessons in your womb. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you are alive, you belong to the same generation. Whether you're a 2-year-old or 90-year-old right now, this is a generation. And all of you live right to see today that Israel is back in the land. A Jew from the tribe of Judah is standing right in front of you right now, speaking with broken English. And with a tent. Ladies and gentlemen, you see those things, as surely I say to you, this generation shall by no means pass away until these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio. We'll talk about that subject in a moment or two. Actually, there's much we're going to talk about because the year 2020 has been a year like no other in recent memory. Sadly, it's actually being called the year of fear at a time that really has been a part of a process that began in America actually 100 years ago, and that would be when the secularization of the culture began in the nation and the church. 100 years ago is when our seminaries became polluted with liberalism and more, and that has infected our churches, though thankfully some are holding to truth. But 2020 started out in a strange way. Frankly, all of January was used to try to impeach President Donald Trump. February, March, it became obvious that we had a virus not just in the land, but attacking almost every country on earth. That prompted shutdowns of the workplace, the church, the culture, most of society. And that has consequences, of course. Then came riots and lawlessness. Now we are on the eve of the most important election in modern history. So my two guests for the hour are going to speak into these topics and will do so very effectively. Amir Sarfati represents the ministry Behold Israel. He has spoken at 5 of my conferences. He's an author. He speaks at gatherings around the world. We'll say more about his online updates, website, etc. Pastor Jack Hibbs is Pastor Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, a place I love to visit and be able to meet the good people of Calvary Chapel. He is heard around the world on radio and online, and check out Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Pastor Jack has also been at 5 of my conferences. Both were scheduled to be with me about a month ago, and for obvious reasons here in Minnesota, that had to be canceled. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Jan.
Jan, thank you.
Jack, I introduced today's hour by saying that pundits have called 2020 the year of fear, and that's really from an unbeliever's perspective, but Christians and our churches have been affected, and churches have been closed, of course, due to the cult of COVID, and many are still closed. Really, your state has been just super hard hit when it comes to the attack against the church. Yours has been open pretty consistently since May 31st. Talk to me a little bit first here about what's happening in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, as far as how God is blessing and blessing the fact you have stayed open. You're pressing on. What's happening?
It's hard to honestly categorize what's happening. Amir has been here in the recent past. He has seen what's happening. The fact that we opened up our doors on May 31st and was just an influx of people that we quite frankly underestimated. And we have been packed to the walls. We've added an outdoor 1,200-seat arena with Jumbotron screen, all because of people coming from all over. And just the proof of that, Jan, is a couple of weeks ago, we baptized 1,004 new believers since May 31st. So I got to tell you, yeah, COVID, the year of fear, I guess so. Not for us.
Not for you.
It's been off the charts. And Jan, real quick, I'll add this. What Amir does, what you do, what I do, we have taught our people to embrace Bible prophecy. And it has now resulted in them being bold, strong, courageous, fearless, and evangelistic. They have capitalized on the, quote, fear factor of COVID to bring hope, salvation, and life to people, who knows, who could have wound up with the real epidemic of suicide taking place. It's been amazing.
Amir Sarfati, what is the most significant angle to 2020 from your perspective? Lawlessness? The rush to the New World Order? The attack on the church? What do you see as front and center for 2020?
I think the word that I would use is deception. And I must confess that I was also deceived a little bit by the so-called facts and numbers that were given to me and shoved down my throat by governments and health organizations. I must say that one of the names of Satan and one of the characteristics of Satan is he who deceives the nations. That's his name. That's his thing. That's all he knows to do. I've watched that from the very get-go of this pandemic, by the way. I was never afraid. Actually, even in March, I had a message called Fear Not, but deceived, I was. I must confess that. And even Pastor Jack can tell you that when I came to his church, I brought before him the reservations that I had previous to my tour to America with the fact that churches go back to meet and gather in large numbers. I am so glad that I was exposed to a reality that is stronger than anything else. And deception is the word I would use because we're being deceived on all levels. You started with deception that had to do with the impeachment. We continue with deception that has to do with George Floyd. It was a lot of deception over there. And we continue with deception that is being sold to people regarding socialism as if it's the hope of America. And we see deception when it comes to the virus. We see deception when it comes to the lockdowns. We see deception when it comes to the economy. Almost everything that is being pushed to us is now being censored by the big tech companies.
Yes.
And it's only their narrative has to be heard. Even recently, there's the New York Post came out with a big story on Joe Biden's son, and Facebook and Twitter will not allow anyone to share it.
Let me throw the question to Pastor Jack Kibbs. 2020, we're almost through it. We've got 2 months left. We've got an election in just a few days. Pastor Jack, 2020, what is the most significant aspect of this current year to you? Again, I threw out some things. Amir's observation of deception, I think, is right on, but we've had attacks on it. Lawlessness, attacks on the church, rush to New World Order, deception in the church, apostasy. But what hits you the most?
I'm going to cheat.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it very, very convenient for me. That's how I see it. Think of a gigantic umbrella, and that umbrella is labeled signs.
Good.
I would say signs, Jan, and Amir, signs, because under that umbrella, we've got, as Amir so rightly said, Revelation 20, verse 8 talks about the deception of nations. Mm. We've got that happening. The collapse of economies heading towards a global currency. People willingly giving up their freedoms for safety. The sellout.
That's right.
Great sellout. It's tragic to watch an American do that. It's embarrassment to us. But people giving up their freedoms for their safety is an embarrassment. But it's happening all around the world. Got to remember, everybody, this is the first time in the history of the church where the church was shut down on every continent on the face of the earth. That is a prophetic sign. I don't know what it means, but that is a sign of something. The lawlessness that is breaking out. Marxism.
Yes, Jack.
And the destabilization of law.
Going to play a clip. It happens to be you and Charlie Kirk. Brilliant happening now that you had. This is a few weeks back. Charlie sums this up so well in just about 2 minutes, and let's come back and talk about it.
Why is it that so many people are angry and looking for meaning? I say, well, it's because you closed the churches down, man. I mean, it's church is more than just flipping on your TV at 10:30 in your pajamas in the living room. Church is the ecclesia, the gathering of believers. It's you turning to your friend and saying, how you doing? And they say, honestly, I'm not doing well. Right. I need you, and I needed that message today. And what we have been led to believe is now church is nothing more than a digital consumption exercise, where church is a 24/7, 365 institution, where it's brothers helping believers, helping sisters, helping people in need.
Right.
And so then we remove that, and I asked Jack this today, and I said, on average, how many people come to Christ on Easter Sunday? And he says, anywhere between 100 to 150, maybe even more. On an Easter Sunday, the most important day that we celebrate as Christians, for good reason. They stole that from us, and we let them. They stole Easter Sunday from us. So I think to myself, my goodness, how many millions of lost souls out there would have become Bible-believing Christians on Easter Sunday if the churches would have remained open? How many people would have dropped down their idolatry of fake witness and said, Jesus, come into my life? Yeah. And yet the secular humanist status said, keep your church closed because I told you so. And then all of a sudden we wonder why in late May we see a destruction of civil society because, oh my gosh, we forgot that it was the church that built civil society.
That's right.
And when civil society starts to crumble and you don't have the singular thing that founded that very civil society, it should be a rather logical thing. Maybe you should open the institution that gives people meaning and gives them an understanding what responsibility is and a connection to the Almighty. And the sacraments of communion, and so there's a direct connection there, and I think there's a reason for it. It's because the statists understand, and the people that want to control you, because that's what this is about, and this is about power. They want government to become God. They want white fragility to become the Bible. They want the 1619 Project to be more well-versed in the teachings of Matthew. And if you think I'm joking, just step into a public school in LA Unified School District, and you'll see exactly what I mean. They know that if they can hurt the church, if they can weaken the church, then all of a sudden they will replace man's search for meaning with government becoming that deity.
Gentlemen, I kind of want to move on to our forthcoming election here in just a couple of days, but I don't want to leave that clip without the opportunity, even for both of you, to speak into it, although briefly. Jack, that was on your platform at your church with Charlie Kirk, and you were the host. That was a brilliant conversation the both of you had. You had tremendous response to that happening now.
Yes, we did, in the hundreds of thousands.
People resonated with that.
They absolutely did. And I tell you, we know now from the follow-up to that, that those who most resonated with it was, of course, the age group of Charlie, 27 years old today. And he hit the kids, the millennials. They got the smelling salts that evening.
Sure.
And it was a transformation because they heard truth. They had never had to think about that before. It was quite an eye-opening night for sure.
Amir, if our election in a few days happens to go in the wrong direction, one of the first things and the hardest hit will be religious liberty. Now, that's an American issue heavily, religious liberty, church issues, etc. There are lots of things that could potentially go haywire with the election going wrong, including your neck of the woods, the entire Middle East. But let's just stay with religious liberty for a moment because I think that clip with Charlie and Jack on his platform a couple months ago is so powerful. Give me your perspective on this.
I believe that, and I think that Pastor Jack knows that firsthand as he spoke with the Secretary of State himself personally. This is one of the biggest agendas of this foreign ministry of President Trump. He replaced the religion of climate change and LGBTQ, all of those nonsense, with religious freedom. And he had tremendous success all around the world, especially in the Middle East, by the way. When America is putting that as a condition to help a country, if there is religious freedom there, that speaks volumes. You can clearly see that that also helped not just Jews or Christians, even Muslims themselves can see right now that America is not going there to destroy a religion, but actually to promote religious freedom. As we just heard from Charlie on that clip, that is exactly the enemy's attempt, is to shut you completely down from worshiping. I believe that our region here will be affected tremendously if Donald Trump will not be reelected, because the agenda will go back to what it was before 2016. You can expect persecutions of Christians in the Middle East and Jews in Europe once again in a greater volume, because countries will not be held accountable. In fact, one of the biggest persecuted communities is the minorities in Iran and within Iraq in those areas. And America is working relentlessly, at least in Iraq, I know, to allow those people religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And part of the great and heavy sanctions on Iran are not only about the nuclear program, but it's also about what they do to their own people. Muslim Persians are less than 50% of mm-hmm. Iran's population. There's many more minorities there that are holding different religious opinions and religious practices than the regime over there. There is no doubt that the world will be affected in a very devastating way if President Trump will not be reelected.
I'm not quite leaving religious freedom yet. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, folks. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from California Pastor Jack Hibbs. You can learn a lot more at jackhibbs.com. jackhibbs.com, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Amir Sarfati, I've reached him in Tiberias. BeholdIsrael.org, BeholdIsrael.org. I'll say more about that and about Amir's books as we go along here, because we're carrying both The Day Approaching and The Last Hour. We're carrying both of those in my online store. Pastor Jack, going back to you for a moment, because not just California, but obviously California's targeted with the governor you've got there. For instance, Calvary Chapel San Jose fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. Others on the chopping block, Pastor Rob McCoy, Pastor Jack Treiber, Baptist Church in Santa Clara, Pastor John MacArthur. You have been relatively unscathed at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, but not everyone. And to my audience, to be honest, Jack, some of them in the heartland here where I headquarter, we hear that churches there being fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for coming together and singing a song or two together. We find this stunning.
Jan, you mentioned something that I'm being asked a lot, and that is, how is it that you guys have been open the longest
yeah.
with the largest crowd? I mean,
I was
informed several months ago that we are the largest Christian church in America right now under one roof. So how is it that we're going unscathed? This is the answer, and I don't know if people are going to like the answer, but it's the gospel truth. In those communities that you mentioned a moment ago, there's a historical tendency of churches in those counties or in those communities to not engage the culture. That's a place that's political, and we don't taint ourselves in that world. But we preach Paul's letter to Timothy saying, know those, pray for those who have the authority over you. For example, every Friday morning for 30 years, this church has prayed for the mayor, the governor, the president, the county board of supervisors, city council, fire, police. We actually know them by name. So, Jan, the difference is we, for 30 years, we know our elected officials. Some of them we've actually voted into power. We're enjoying the fruits now of exactly what the Bible taught us. So we're delighted. We know them.
Let's consider just a few other things that are at stake. This is on November 3rd, just a couple of days away here. I mean, we've talked about religious liberty. I've already referenced you've got a couple of churches out there fined hundreds of thousands just for coming together and meeting and singing a few songs and greeting one another. All efforts at pro-life. It's going to be out the window if this election goes wrong in a few days. We're going to have open borders. We're going to lose a great deal of our freedoms. We're going to have the Iran nuclear deal back. And Jack, you apprised me that even Christian radio, a lot of Christian things are going to be at stake. And that's per Michelle Bachman, having told you that recently. Amir, from your perspective, what's at stake?
Of course, the American internal domestic problems are, I guess, your problems.
Yeah, they are.
I can tell you that I can represent the rest of the world that is looking at America right now and knowing that whatever is going to be decided on November 3rd will affect the entire world. Don't be mistaken. You're the number one superpower in the world. The leader of the free world is the U.S. president, no other person. And the decisions that are being made in the Oval Office are decisions that affect the entire world, not just America. And I can tell you, for example, the Palestinians right now, they have some sort of internal issues between Fatah and Hamas, and Mahmoud Abbas is dragging his feet to do stuff because he's waiting to see who the next president in America is going to be. Same goes with the Iranians. They can't wait to do something, but they know that they must wait because maybe Biden will become president and then the Iran deal will be back on the table. So it goes with the Russian involvement and the Turkish involvement in the region. So it goes with the Arab states that are now, because they don't want any scenario where a Democrat wins the presidential elections, they run and sign deals with Israel right now under the auspices of this administration. And so my point is, there is a great ripple effect to the American elections. And may I say, on Israel in particular, the Israelis are very pro-Trump. By the way, not only the Israelis. I just read today, 83% of the Orthodox Jews in America are pro-Trump.
Right.
Versus 56% in 2016. By the way, you can see that in the black community, in the Latino community, Asian community. You can see that all across the U.S. population. My point is this. These are crucial elections for not just domestic issues in America, but primarily to world events and world issues pertaining to the Middle East in particular. But not only that, China is waiting around the corner. Let's face it, this whole thing in 2020 with the virus started in China, not for nothing. It could have started a year later, but then they would have missed the elections. They wanted to bring America on its knees to the elections with a broken economy and chaos in the streets, and it seems like they are failing. I'm saying these elections are definitely the business of the whole world. Millions are praying for Trump.
Yes, I know they are. I want to add something here because, Amir, you and I often we talk about the topic of globalism. I just want to play, this is a 40-second clip of former Vice President Joe Biden on his participation in the New World Order. And I want to talk about that for a minute or two. And that is the rush to globalism. And my goodness, Donald Trump put the skids on it back in 2016, the rush to one world. Here's Mr. Biden on this topic.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened, and some have to be changed.
I'm talking to Pastor Jack Hibbs and Amir Sarfati. Gentlemen, the rush to globalism, it got derailed in 2016. It will be back on track after November 3rd if the election goes sideways. Amir, comment on that.
Well, first of all, it's not a coincidence that the Democrats are on that side, but I must confess, and excuse me if you're a sworn Republican, that even the Republicans, when it comes to George Bush, the father and the son, they
and
were
the son.
Also meddling with these things. This was a very sick culture in D.C. that Donald Trump, the only one that was not a politician, he identified it, and on the day of him being sworn into office, he promised to the American people that he is going to make great changes in this one, and he will take care of them, not of anything else. And that was the moment that the globalists understood we've got a big problem. This is an accident, basically. Because make no mistake, the globalists were dancing on both camps. They had people both in the Republican and the Democrat Party. Yep. Right now, Donald Trump, within the Republican Party, is moving a huge change to completely turn the Republicans into America First and into Make America Great Again. It was hard for the Republicans also to swallow in the very beginning, but they understand now this is nothing but a change that has to happen within, and it cannot happen through the old elite. It has to happen from the grassroots and from the younger generation in the Republican Party, and I see that. I see that right now happening within the Republicans. There is no doubt that European leaders are outraged by everything Trump is doing, because he's exposing them when it comes to NATO, when it comes to the UN, when it comes to the EU. He is basically shaming them in their own backyards when he's proving that they are useless, worthless, and they are super expensive also.
Let Pastor Jack weigh in on this.
Well, Amir, you hit the nail on the head. Trump, with all due respect, and allow me, you guys, to be a little blunt. Trump's a street fighter. Don't let his demeanor fool you. The guy's a genius. And when he came to Washington, D.C., this is an international businessman. He knew what were the business problems, what were the tax problems, what the strangleholds were. So he comes in like a force of nature. And he turns over the Democrat and Republican Party. The Republican Party, by and large, couldn't stand him. He was like a toilet plunger. Mm. He was like a skyrocket. These analogies fit Donald Trump. They don't know what to do with him, but everything he does is great for the unborn child.
Yes.
It's great for the economy. It's great for Israel. It's great for Japan. It's great for Taiwan. It's bad for Iran. Listen, any day that Iran has a bad day because of Trump, that's my president. He's given Russia a black eye. He's caused China to have to grow up and do business like the other nations. No more favoritism. The guy has come in and has shaken the globe. And like Amir said, to the globalist elite and to the Democrat Party, this one world order is having to press pause, and they don't like it. The three of us know well that when evil gets a chance to do something, it always overplays its hand.
Yeah.
It can't control
Good
itself.
Point, Jack.
And now we see them rioting in the streets, executing the Marxism plan. We, the people, will decide. And one final thing, Jan, Christians, it's ridiculous, but Christians say, I don't know if I could vote for such an immoral president. Well, wait a minute. What's he doing now that's immoral? The man keeps his word. He's campaigned and performed everything he promised. And you want to talk about immorality as a president? Trump is not the guy he used to be. I don't know where he is with Jesus right now. I'm praying for him every day. Yeah. But what the guy says, he does.
Gentlemen, we're going to continue our discussion. I'm going to take my midpoint of the program break. And when we come back, there's a number of issues I still want to talk about. And as long as I have Jack on the line here, and Jack is a busy pastor, and we're going to lose him here in a little bit, but we're going to keep him as long as we possibly can. And if necessary, we're going to go to program number two if we need to. We'll determine that at the end of the second half of program number one. Folks, don't go away. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes.
We love friendly feedback. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. More in a moment. Now that the leftist agenda in America is so clear, learn more about it from a man who has made an award-winning exposé of the communist plan to take down America. We have carried the two DVD set produced by Curtis Bowers, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, for years. Curtis is one of our most popular radio guests. He outlines the plan to infiltrate and take over America with an intricate Marxist plan targeting your kids, our schools, our seminaries, and more. But at the same time, we encourage you to read The Answer to This Dilemma, a new book by Dr. Robert Jeffress, Praying for America, 40 Inspiring Stories and Prayers for Our Nation. Find both products in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can also sign up for our print magazine and find them offered in our year-end issue. Equip yourself to understand the times by tapping into our products, our website, our live online updates, and our weekly radio program. See how all the Bible predicted is coming to pass.
So for us as Christians, we have this, I think it's a pagan worldview when we say, I'm not going to go vote because my vote doesn't count. What can I do? After all, God's sovereign. You know what? That is absolutely not to be found anywhere in the Bible. And you got to show up to the fight to enjoy the victory.
Our radio outreach, Understanding the Times Radio, is now in its 20th year and airs on 900 stations across the U.S. and Canada. Thank you for your financial and prayer support of Olive Tree Ministries. We could not do this without you. In an age of fake news and false teaching, we appreciate your confidence in us. Now here is more with Jan Markell and her two special guests, Pastor Jack Hibbs and Israeli Bible teacher Amir Sarfati.
And by the way, way, the Saudis, Jack, the Saudis are probably next to sign peace with Israel. And you know why? Because they just heard Biden yesterday saying that he believes that if he is going to be elected, the Iran deal should be back in effect. The Saudis immediately picked up the phone and said,
"Yep,
can you arrange another ceremony soon before your election?" The head of the Israeli Mossad, upon landing in Israel, said, probably Saudi is next, as well as President Trump. He did hint that 2 days ago. Guys, and it's not because they are in love with Israel. No, but they understand that the geopolitical changes in the Middle East are such that they better off be on our side, or else something else is going to happen. They dread the minute Democrats will take over the White House. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. Guys, yes, it is for America, but the whole world is going to be affected. And therefore, whoever sits in the White House is the business also of many other countries. That's why I'm so passionate about it.
And welcome back. I played that little clip intentionally because the U.S. election affects the entire world. And that is not an overstatement. It's probably an understatement because so many nations, their fate really is at stake, as well as that of America, with what happens here in just a few days with our presidential election. Now, I'm spending this hour with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Find out more about Jack at jackhibbs.com. You can go to his website, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Amir Sarfati heads the ministry known as Behold Israel, beholdisrael.org. Olive Tree carries his two books. One is The Day Approaching and an accompanying study guide that goes with that book. We have it in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. We carry his first book, The Last Hour, in our store. You can also give us a call and we'll get one out to you, or get on our print newsletter list, our e-newsletter list, where we promote some of these products. I don't want to spend time promoting a lot of products, though they're very good. I want to spend time here on substance and content, and particularly as long as I have the time and the ear of my two very special guests. Pastor Jack Hibbs, let's hit a few issues here while we still have time. A lot of listeners are thinking right now that, granted, God raises kings and he takes them down. Therefore, do I even have to vote? To be honest, a huge percentage of Christians on November 3rd will not vote. Would you address that?
You know, first of all, the Bible also says, Jan, that God judges nations by the leaders he gives them. That's very clear. And so what is an anomaly in the world, in the history of the world, is the fact that God has provided the United States a republic, which is very rare. So we pick our leaders. Isn't that scriptural?
Yes.
God says, choose out from among yourselves. Here's what people, and I agree, have no respect for. It's for the, quote, Christian to surrender before ever even deciding to go to the fight. Yes, God is sovereign, but isn't it interesting that the sovereign God of the Bible says to Joshua, says to David, go to battle. Tomorrow I'll be with you. Fight, and I will give the enemy into your hands. Well, if God's sovereign, why didn't just David sleep in, suck his thumb? God's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
No, God said, I'm going to do it, so get up and fight. Isn't that amazing? So for us as Christians, we have this, I think it's a pagan worldview when we say, I'm not going to go vote because my vote doesn't count. What can I do? After all, God's sovereign. You know what? That is absolutely not to be found anywhere in the Bible. And you got to show up to the fight to enjoy the victory.
Right.
This is a bizarre theology that is Western, what I don't know, but I don't see it in the scriptures. We are to do the right thing. This is righteousness. Jan, the Bible's very clear. We're not going to see the Lord without righteousness. What does that mean? That means we are to do what we know. And that is the Christian life of doing the right thing and voting pro-life. For one example, I'm going to vote for Trump because he's pro-life, and I get a bonus. He's pro-Israel, he's pro-borders, he's pro-military, he's pro-religious freedoms. But hey, what breaks the straw for me is pro-life. Trump's going to get my vote. Look, I live in California. We can vote like 10 times, I think, in this state. That's a joke, maybe.
Yeah, not so funny joke. Amir, you speak into this from the perspective of an Israeli, and I've played a couple clips of you here. The last one I just played talks about how this is really an international issue. Speak to us from the perspective of an Israeli.
First of all, as an Israeli, I think that we value the fact that we have the freedom to have our own country and to be able to vote our own leaders. For 2,000 years, we had none of those. And even before that, the Romans would elect whoever they wanted. There were no re-elections in Israel. So I think Americans should embrace the fact, as Jack just said, that they are a republic that allows them to choose their leaders and it's not imposed on them. Now, I also believe that it's not just important to go to vote, but it's important who you vote for. For me, I honestly, as a non-American, as an Israeli, I cannot see how a Christian who holds biblical values can vote for Joe Biden. I just cannot. But all of his policies regarding religious freedom and regarding abortions, and not to mention Israel, and also freedom to speak, freedom to defend yourself with your own weapons. I can't imagine, after all those years that Americans fought for these freedoms and shed so much blood and lost millions of lives, how in the world can they not vote for a candidate that embraces and keeps those freedoms intact? I've been watching, like most of the world, the two candidates. I've been watching them not just on a debate, but also how they handle themselves in between. I must say, and I said that at Jack's church, and I can say that right now on radio, Joe Biden is the biggest fraud in the history of American elections. And I will say that because everyone knows this man is not fit to be president. Yeah. And Pastor Jack hinted when I was there, and I can say that even here in Israel, we're all convinced that the one that is pulling the strings is the one who actually left the White House 4 years ago, but he never left Washington.
He never left Washington. He really never left, being the mover and the shaker behind the scenes. I want to play a clip of the two of you. The reason I find this clip so intriguing, Amir, it's you commenting on our wonderful First Amendment. It's profound and it's funny at the same time. This is a recent happening now, the two of you did.
The situation with what's transpiring in the world right now, where we have a global situation, first time in human history, first time in church history, where the Christian church is universally closed in the world. At the hour that she's needed the most in modern history. This is not, listen, people want to make it a medical or a political situation. Listen, Satan's a genius. He's playing this perfectly.
I must tell you that I really struggle coming here. And let me explain before you kill me. I've been watching since May 31st what's going on here. Nothing made sense to me because I come from a part of the world where we don't have the First Amendment. And all churches, all synagogues, everything is closed in Israel for the last 6 months. For us, they've been telling us that sitting like that without mask is killing you, basically. This is a recipe for death. And I ask him how many body bags he already dealt with. So here we are being brainwashed, completely brainwashed. I, and I think most of the world, is in the understanding that this is impossible. And then I also struggled with, wait a minute, is that even legal? Is that even legal? Forget about the health issue, which I was concerned about. I thought, is my best friend a criminal?
Depends on who you ask.
Yes. I got a lesson today on the First Amendment. First of all, I'm not American, so I never read it. I don't care about it. But I read it today because...
In fact, I was trying to explain it to him. And then I said, just read it. Here, read it.
I read it.
He read it, and he went...
Okay, I get it.
The whole world should have this.
I told him, why don't you say anything about it? Listen, the First Amendment is not leaving any loophole for any situation that might cause the government to shut churches down. Nothing. Amen. Not a virus. Listen, because today they say virus, tomorrow they're going to say, oh, there's a Antifa march in the streets, so we want you to be closed. The next day they're going to say, it's going to be too hot outside, we want you to be closed. And before you know it, they will decide for you when church is going on or not.
Gentlemen, things go wrong November 3rd here, just a couple of days away. We could lose our First Amendment. Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. Legally, we could lose it. We will continue. Let's be honest. God gave us the First Amendment as a gift to propagate the gospel, no doubt about it, to protect that liberty and freedom. If it goes away, Jan, Amir, we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
Sure.
Could cost us our life, probably will, persecution. But listen, so what? We join the rest of the world that is under the sway of persecution constantly for Christ. We've had it very easy in America until now.
And Amir, you picked up on a fascinating news article. It's made headlines here in October, Pro-Life Christians for Joe Biden, which is kind of staggering. I could name names of the so-called evangelicals who are for the leftist agenda. It's hard to comprehend. Jack, it's super hard for us to comprehend as Americans, and I'm sure, Amir, for you, you're just shaking your head. You can't figure this out. I understand.
I have never seen someone that is pro-life voting for someone
pro-abortion.
That is so against pro-life. Yeah, it makes no sense to me. I thought I've seen it all, but this is a new record in deception and confusion and manipulation. They are trying to give you a picture of divided Christianity. They're trying to tell you that all Christians are holding the position of abortions are all evil. Look, not everyone that is calling himself a Christian is a Christian.
Right.
I believe that the elections right now exposes a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I see that.
Jack, your passion is pro-life. That is obviously one of the big things that drives you. And I'm sure when you see this, you shake your head beyond belief.
Jen, that spirituality in that demographic, it's a hoax. I don't believe it. A, it's a stunt to confuse Christians, or B, these are people who think they're Christians and are not Christians. There is no way that the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer would give the thumbs up to vote for an abortionist. That is not going to happen. Of course, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. Listen, the bottom line is there is no way that you can read your Bible and come out reading your Bible. You could fall out of an airplane, land on a deserted island with a Bible. You're going to come out pro-life. This is an act of deception. I don't believe it. I don't think these are real Christians. It's a stunt.
I want to make a little side road here. Amir, this is something I know you can address well. There's been some headlines here, particularly in mid to late October, that 70% of Jews are going to vote Biden-Harris. And I want to qualify right up front. These are American Jews. This comes from the Times of Israel. That Israeli Jews are heavily pro-conservative, pro-Donald Trump. And I want Amir to address this. But first, let me say, before you address it, Amir, that there have been Jews, American Jews, who voted for literal anti-Semites. They voted for Jimmy Carter. They voted for Barack Obama. And these men did huge damage to Israel. And now, today, some years later, we've got Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib from Michigan. These are shady characters who are brutally anti-Israel. And Ilhan Omar here in Minnesota very well may get reelected next Tuesday. And some American Jews here in Minnesota may vote for her, though she's committed to destroying Israel. Let me just take 1 minute to give my explanation of this. And Jack, you and I talked about this on your platform about a year ago. Now, why are they doing this? Just a few thoughts I have, and that very often the Jewish people feel they have to vote for the oppressed, the downtrodden, the helpless, the minority, the persecuted. Therefore, they lean very liberal, such as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Very often, today, many Jews in America are very secular. They're not religious. Secularists have no loyalty to traditional marriage, to pro-life causes, be they Jew or non-Jew. They don't have any loyalty to these biblical causes. Some other reasons, I think that their ancestors came from socialist nations. For that matter, Israel is a very left-leaning nation, though I want Amir to qualify that a lot of Israeli Jews are pro-President Trump. Many Jews just lack a loyalty to Judaism and Israel. They actually have more loyalty to liberalism than to the Jewish state. They're in spiritual blindness. I think that is a huge aspect, and the spiritual blindness perhaps bleeds over into other issues, such as the issue we're talking about. My goodness, many of them cannot even see the Messiah in Isaiah 53, but this is something God has done by blinding so many of them. But Amir, you speak to this, please. You're the Israeli, and I want to give you the platform.
First of all, a lot of people don't know that Israel was born in 1948 almost as a socialist country.
Yes.
It has to be acknowledged that the biggest political party in Israel in 1948 was the Labor Party that has the socialist roots. But the Israeli public sobered up over the past years, and that is exactly why in 1977 that big revolution happened and the right wing took possession of power. One of the reasons Netanyahu is so hated by the liberals in Israel is because he is not allowing those socialist, anarchist people to take over. Make no mistake, the Israeli public today is predominantly right-wing conservative. In fact, the left in Israel is less than 20%. That's why every time you see polls, you see right and you see left plus Arabs. Why? Because the Arab population in Israel is traditionally siding with the left, because they're against the national identity of the right wing in Israel, that Israel is the land of the Jewish people. However, what I see in America is something very interesting.
Yes.
In the latest poll, 83% of the Orthodox Jews versus 56% in 2016, 83% would actually vote for Trump this time. I see that the masks were pulled down by President Trump to expose the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party, even when it comes to the Jewish cause and the Jewish people. By the way, make no mistake, what's going on with the lockdowns in the state of New York right now targets the Jewish population.
That's right.
The Jews can see that this is a manipulation and this is targeting them for other reasons. By the way, there's a great wave of Jewish immigration out of New York to Israel, believe it or not. One of the good things that the chaos and lawlessness and the virus did is reigniting the Jewish people in America to move to where they belong, I believe, to Israel. And we see that now. The planes are packed on the way to Israel, and they're empty on the way back to America.
Wow.
This is the first time that we are releasing numbers of immigrants, and the top is America. Immigrants from America, number one. This has never been the case. America was always ranked fourth, fifth, or sixth, but President Trump over and over again pledged his support not only in Israel as a Jewish state, in Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state, but also his support in the Jewish people in general. Now, are there Jews that lost their mind and they're on the other camp? Of course. In fact, why do we go that far? Soros and Rothschild, these are all on the paper, they're Jews. But do you think they count themselves as Jews? Do you think that they play their Jewish card?
No.
Of course not.
No.
They believe that they're gods. They believe that they have seen the light to be able to control the whole world and change world orders rather than promote any Jewish or Israeli agenda.
Yes.
In fact, they're the biggest problem of Israel right now. And the Israeli right wing identify George Soros as the enemy of Israel. Believe it or not, I'm just saying, along the side of the brainwashing that we see, we also see sobering up of so many people.
Let me throw this to Pastor Jack Hibbs, because we just talked about some spiritual blindness here on the part of the Jewish people. But for that matter, not necessarily a spiritual context here, Jack, but 40% of Americans are now in favor of socialism. So it's like a strong delusion has been poured out in America.
A great bulk of that 40% is now a generational thing, where these kids have now grown up out of college now. Unless God intervenes, you guys, that 40% is going to be 60.
That's right.
It's going to be 80, and it's a fact. It's not a feeling.
That's right.
I no longer endorse any college, any university when parents ask me. It is a bastion of Marxism and socialism. America is reaping what it's been sowing for the last 60 years. The Haight-Ashbury drugged LSD users are literally now the professors of our universities, and they're reproducing Marxist, and everybody knows it. Few people are talking about it. Now they're voting. Now they're saying things like they're saying. Absolutely true. And regarding blindness, regarding the Jews, you got New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and other than about two Jews I know personally, the Jews I know outside of those two guys, they care less about Israel. They don't want to even talk about it. I want to talk about Israel more than they do. They're not all that way. Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager, they're different. And I know them, and they're like us. But they're unique. Jan, I've bashed my head against the wall, so to speak, trying to figure it out. And I have given it up to some Jews have blinders on their eyes, and some have a blanket over their head.
I know. That's Romans 9, 10, 11.
It is.
Yeah. They are going to see, Amir, all Israel will be saved. Unfortunately, that's the end of the tribulation after 7 years, certainly 3.5 years of hell on earth for them. But then all Israel sees everything. Their eyes are opened.
Two-thirds of Israel will
perish.
That's
right. They will perish. Two-thirds
perish. The
reason
is because they will embrace the Antichrist.
That's right.
And you see the Jewish blindness when it comes to liberalism and even abortions and everything else. I can tell you up front, if the Antichrist would rise today, Tel Aviv would instantly be his. All of them will embrace him.
Really?
Los Angeles. Exactly, Amir. Imagine if the Antichrist showed up today and he said, I have got the vaccination, or I've got the economy, or I've got an idea. I can cancel human trafficking. Listen, try this out. They'll love him in 72 hours.
Of course. And I can tell you that that's why it is so important for us to continue and not to grow weary and tired of teaching Bible prophecy. Because I'm telling you, people are going to fall for him faster than you can imagine. I thank God for 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, that tells me that he cannot be revealed before the restrainer is taken out of his way.
Thank you. Amir, can I say something about that? I'm so glad you brought that up. There are people, Christians, who are so ill-informed on this, Jan, that they think Trump's the Antichrist, but they claim to be pre-tribulational. And I asked them, wait, I thought you're pre-trib. I am. And you're telling me Trump's the Antichrist? He is. I thought we were supposed to be out of here by then. I thought 2 Thessalonians 2 taught clearly that he who restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked one be revealed. And they kind of scratch their head and they rethink their position, but this is ridiculous.
Well, but even if they insinuate that he's part of the Antichrist system, it's bad enough to cause Christians not to vote for him, which is another problem that I have. So even if you don't say he's Antichrist, but you attach him to the system of the come on, how can the system of the Antichrist be pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-church, pro-religious freedom? I mean, how can you not see that the other camp is representing so clearly and so vividly that the spirit of the Antichrist? And look, Trump is not a saint, but we don't vote for saints for president. Yes, you may not like his style. You may not like his tweets. He gets things done. He's the first president
in
history.
He gets the right things done.
The right things done, but every election promise is kept. There is no politician on planet Earth that is even able to fulfill his election campaign promises, because it's always full of lies and deception and always just to buy the people's votes. And the next day, once they're elected, they do whatever they want. It's a phenomenal thing. It's the first time he says, I'll move the embassy to Jerusalem. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He says, I'm going to build a wall. How many people laughed when he said that?
Right.
Two-thirds of the wall is standing already. Are you kidding
me? That's right.
I'm thinking to myself, people are having problem with him also because he is not a politician. I cannot see how you can take him and put him in the camp of the Antichrist system. This is so bizarre, so detached from reality. I just don't understand that.
We have talked heavily. Right. Forgive me for rushing things, gentlemen. So I have to watch my clock here, and we are out of time. But we've talked politics for almost an hour. Jack, wrap it up here, because here's the thing. Knowing Jesus is what really matters, and we need to close on that kind of a note. Without knowing Jesus, none of this other matters.
Hey, listen, actually, the word politics, not a bad word. It's found in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And what it means is it's an organization, a structure for community, government.
Yes.
The Bible tells us clearly that our government, our politic, as Christians, is in heaven. That doesn't mean we roll over and play dead here, but it means we do everything from heaven's perspective. I live, you live, Amir lives every day with heaven as our perspective. How glorious is it, friends, that our citizenship is in heaven, and that is accomplished not by your good works, not by your efforts of righteous deeds, but by literal faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died for our sins. The prophets said he would, and he did. He rose again from the dead for our justification. The prophets said he would, and he did. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The Old Testament prophets taught that. The New Testament records it. Faith in him, my friend, repenting of your sins. Jesus invites us to repent and believe. And that means change your mind. The word is metanoia. It means change your mind. That entails departing from what you're doing. Go to Christ, and he will, by his merit, by his work on the cross, and his resurrection power, come inside of your life, transform you just for the asking. Go to him with your sin, and he'll impart to you his righteousness.
Oh, I'm so glad you wrapped things up that way, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Learn more at jackhibbs.com. Check out The Real Life with Jack Hibbs online. Check out beholdisrael.org. Amir, Pastor Barry Stagner, and I try to do some prophecy roundtables a couple of times a month online. You can learn more at beholdisrael.org or olivetreeviews.org. We post all those videos to our website as soon as they're finished, about 8 hours later. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough. Amir is going to join me again here next week, and we're going to talk strictly apologetics. We're going to talk some rapture issues. We're going to talk about some of the contention going on online issues. I want to talk about some of the top Bible prophecy stories of 2020. I want to ask him what he foresees coming down the pike in 2021. So I'll do that with Amir again next week. I just want to go out of the program saying this, that some call our times uncertain, but are they really? For those who understand God's plan for the end of the age, the times became very certain in 1948. Remember that fig tree? Israel blossomed. The Bible then outlined all of the things to come, and many of them are unsettling. We see that playing out now. Right before Christ's return, they were to greatly intensify or even rev up like a tachometer. So I say the times aren't uncertain at all. Rather, they are following a roadmap that should catch no believer by surprise. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
You might want to consider watching our program on our website under Complete Archives, on our YouTube channel, or on his channel, Christian Television. You can download or stream at oneplace.com. You encourage us when you write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Jan Markell in Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. And we again remind you that God is in control. Nothing catches him by surprise. You are engraved on the palms of his hands, and everything is falling into place.